prophecy of Habakkuk, one of the most important prophecies in the entirety of the Old Testament, or I might say in the entirety of the Bible. But how many of us really today know much about the prophecy of Habakkuk? You know, it only occupies three chapters in the Scripture, and the three chapters doesn't happen to comprise very much. But you know something? It happens to be one of the most important segments of Scripture to help us understand some very important sections of Scripture, particularly that of Daniel and Revelation, that all of us want to know about today. And it happens to be one of the keys to give us a proper understanding of what will occur in the next few years or the years in advance of us. Now, this book of Habakkuk is a very important one. It represents one of the 12 minor prophets. One of the 12 minor prophets. Now, I don't want to emphasize the word minor because that is a term of man. When they say 12 minor prophets, all they mean is this. They are 12 short prophets all the way from Hosea to Malachi. And near the end of them, we find Habakkuk. This prophet prophesied in the 7th century B.C., near the end of it. Let's say beginning about 625 B.C. Now, that may not mean very much to us, but in reality, it was a very important time in the history of Judah. And Habakkuk here was prophesying about the Babylonians and about Judah, about what was to happen at the end of the age. And in some of the cases, in some of the statements that he makes, really, much of the prophecy did not happen back at that time, but has a relevance for the future. That's why it's very important to all of us. Yet, it's embedded, the environment is embedded, in the 7th century, the end of the 7th century, B.C. And this book of Habakkuk is very important. Now, I want to say right at the outset that it's a very technical book. The only way you can really understand it is to really have an appreciation of the historical environment in which Habakkuk was written. Many phrases and statements which we find in Habakkuk really don't make much sense to us today, simply because, you know, we are 2,700 years away from the events. Indeed, I would like to ask all of you who are listening to this lecture at the present time, if you had to talk with your great-grandparents about the Civil War in America, or about something that was happening in the Crimean War over in Britain and Russia at the time. You know, much of the terminology that they were very familiar with might not be at all familiar with you. And this is the big difficulty. You and I may be able to understand what was happening in the last century far better than we would be to understand things happening three or four centuries ago. But when you have an environment that is 2,700 years ago, and in an entirely different area of the world than you and I are used to, no wonder sometimes we make mistakes or we do not understand what is happening with the language that's being described. That is why we need understanding and knowledge from God and from history about what was happening at the time. And you know something? God has given it to us. We have found many ancient documents dealing with this time period here that gives us a pretty good understanding of what the expressions, the phrases, and things like that meant at that time. And we can appropriate those and understand in a real, vital, and vigorous way, and an enthusiastic way, what those phrases and statements mean for us today. And that's what we need to take into account when we analyze the book of Habakkuk. It's an ancient book. It's a book going back 2,700 years ago. But you know, it has relevance for us today. And it shows how God was dealing with ancient Judah and how God was dealing with an ancient power called the Babylonians or the Chaldeans and how they were to come down and to conquer Judah. But you know something? This has relevance to the day of the Lord, to the day in the future when Jesus Christ will come back to this earth. And really, I don't want to make a big a deal out of the whole thing, because these three chapters here certainly are embedded within the 7th century B.C., but the relevance of them has to do with what we can see around us today and in the near future. Now, this book is only three chapters long, but as I said before, it can have profound teaching for us to help us to understand the overall prophetic interpretation and teaching coming from Daniel and Revelation and other sections. That's why it is an important link in helping us to comprehend what we need to know concerning the prophecies of the near future. Now, this book of Habakkuk, as I said before, was written at the end of the 7th century before Christ. But it has to do with events which very well may be on the horizon in advance of us. The first two chapters of Habakkuk, and there are three of them, but I think it's important to mention this first. The first two chapters of Habakkuk, if you will analyze them carefully, and what I would recommend you do, listening to this tape, or especially after listening to this tape, go over the book itself and analyze it, you will find that the first two chapters are a dialogue between the prophet Habakkuk and God. Now, by dialogue, I mean it's a conversation going on between the prophet and God. The prophet introduces certain things, and then God answers. And then God says something, and then Habakkuk answers. And it goes back and forth and back and forth, just like you and I would ask a friend, well, what about this? Well, what about that? And what about this? And what about that? The last chapter, however, is not a dialogue. It is a psalm. We are accustomed to believe that all the psalms are found in the book of Psalms, 150 of them. But you know that's not the case. There are 150 psalms in the book of Psalms. But in the book of Habakkuk, the third chapter is a psalm that you will not find in the book of Psalms. And that makes the Psalms at least 151. And indeed, when you go over to the book